20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Burhatch, joined always by Sarah Kelleher and Dusty Evely. What's going on, kids? It's off season. It's really, really off season. We got nothing, man. I love you guys for listening in and downloading this podcast because it's a stretch right now. We are in full on off season mode and trying to figure out what to talk about. But thank you for always, because we've got Twitter fans that sent in a lot of questions. So I know I just rambled on for about 17 minutes. What's going on with you?
Hey, nothing. Same way, like up until like an hour ago, I was like, oh, what are we going to talk about? We got nothing to talk about. So, yeah, thank God for them people sending in the questions.
Seriously, we had kind of gone back and forth about a few things we could talk about, and everything, we were just hitting a dead end. So thank you guys, seriously. Thank you for sending the questions.
Now, it's weird you guys didn't want to talk about Packers uniforms or anything.
To be clear, we gave you the opportunity. Yeah, we gave you, that's fair. Could be your week, Steve. We just will not be on.
That's good.
But I feel like now you're ready. Like, so the next time the opportunity comes up, you're not going to let it slide. It only comes once in a lifetime.
I do need to do a little bit more research in order to get ready for that. But I am actually, I'm excited, but I'm also very, very worried because it came out that the Packers are going to have new alternate jerseys this year. And I'm very, very convinced that they're going to screw it up again.
Go back to Acme Packers, man. Give me that sweet Acme Packers gear, man.
They've done that one. They redid the last one. Like, no, I want something new. I want something exciting. Give me a little bit of something.
Oh, hey, we're not doing this now. Hey, Steve, do we have questions?
That's not even what it would have been. Oh, whatever, fine. Let's move on because Dusty is such a jackass and can't have this conversation. We do have a little bit of NFL news I want to talk about. There was a trade that will be completed on the first day of the new NFL season. The Jaguars have traded cornerback A.J. Bouye to the Broncos for a 2020 fourth round draft pick. Appears that it's the pick that the Broncos got for Emmanuel Sanders. So flipping Emmanuel Sanders for A.J. Bouye, 2 years of A.J. Bouye,
pretty sweet.
I mean, he's got a pretty high cap hit, which is interesting. I think I saw something where the Broncos actually, as long as they keep one of their safeties or franchise tag him, they will be spending $50 million on their secondary. So he's going, John Elway's all in on the no-fly zone in the secondary for the Broncos. They don't have a quarterback, but, you know.
Well, you're building it around, right? They've got Locke. Locke showed out decently well last year, so load up while you can, right?
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, that is a way to do it. Like, you load your defense up when you've got that rookie contract for a quarterback. So I guess that does make sense.
They still have Flacco. Is Flacco still under contract?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
I think they were able to dump him.
Okay.
If I'm... because I saw something where somebody said that the Packers should sign Flacco for like $3 to $4 million a year as a backup quarterback.
Joe Flacco?
Yes. Joe Flacco. Not John Flacco.
I might take John Flacco.
It probably would be smarter. But yeah, let's I think we're just gonna jump right into the mailbag because we put it out an hour before we record the podcast, and all of us were very, very worried, but everybody on Twitter, like, delivered, which was pretty outstanding. So we're not even going to be able to get through all of the questions, but we're just going to start off. We're going to try to do as rapid fire as humanly possible to get through everything. So first one comes from Tony Falk at Tony _ Brolonia.
That's right.
An outstanding name. Good job, Tony. Good for you. Tony _ Brolonia. What is your favorite all-time play that's not commonly shown on Packers highlight reels? So, Dusty, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go back. I'm going back to 96. It's, you know, we were kind of talking about this ahead of time. It's tough to think of a play that's not on highlight reels, because, and some of them is because I assume that some of them are on highlight reels. But this is one I've not seen very much of. I bring it up as often as I can. It was 96 NFC Championship game against the Carolina Panthers. It was a Tyron Williams diving backwards one-handed interception off of Kerry Collins. To this day, one of the best interceptions I've ever seen. It is, I've got, you know, I'll retweet it, I guess, into my feed here tonight. So if you want to look up my name after you listen to this, you can see it fairly easily. Just, it's just an amazing athletic feat. Collins, I think it's like basically a curl route or something that Collins overthrows, and Williams just makes an amazing recovery and just all laid out one-hand interception. Beautiful, beautiful play. So that is, I've got a handful I could throw out there, but that one deserves all the love it can get, and I don't see it talked about very much.
So mine is from the divisional game in the 2014-2015 playoff. And it is a Davante Adams highlight. And for those of you that are wondering, yes, that is the same game that Dez did not catch it. So a little before that happened, Davante Adams, this was his rookie year, and I believe it was his best game of his rookie season. He had 7 catches for 117 yards and a touchdown. And he basically just leans in to the corner and just absolutely – once he makes a catch and then – they're kind of going back and forth, and he just leans into him and just completely shoves him off with one hand and then continues to run and picks up about 10 to 15 more yards. And I think it's a super underrated Davante Adams moment, because a lot of what he did in his rookie year, I feel like we kind of forget sometimes, because now he's done all this amazing stuff. And I just remember seeing that. And then in that game, there was the Cobb catch that sealed the deal later on, the whole drama with Dez. So I feel like that play gets kind of undershadowed when really it was a pretty cool moment. So that's what that one was for me.
Very cool. I love the one. I've got a couple. I always love watching Brett Favre's first completion that goes to himself after a batted ball. That one always makes me laugh and always makes me chuckle. But again, that's always, if you do a complete Brett Favre highlight reel, normally that's the first one that's shown up. So not quite there. The one I'm going to go with though is the Jeff Heath sack of Aaron Rodgers in the Cowboys game, when two plays before he hits Jared Cook to set up Mason Crosby to go to the NFC Championship game, where out of nowhere, Rodgers does not see Heath coming and just annihilates him. And everybody who was watching it goes, oh, son of a bitch, he's going to fumble. He's going to fumble. That's it. Game over. And I don't, to this day, I don't know how Aaron Rodgers held onto that ball. I don't know how he did it, but I could watch it over and over where he's got the ball in his hand, he gets smoked, and somehow it still stays with him. So it's a horrible play for the Packers, but it's still just an overall impressive play for Aaron Rodgers. So that one is one of my all-time favorites to watch. Next up, we have Andy B, who wants to know, what is your favorite Disney movie? We'll start with the youngin. Sarah, what you got?
Finding Nemo. That's my favorite. It always has been. I also loved Finding Dory.
Yeah, it's not quite as good, though.
Yeah, it's just not the same, you know. I feel like that's any sequel, though. But it was still a good sequel. But I loved Finding Nemo growing up. I was always, whenever I was a kid, and even still now, when people ask what my favorite animal was, it was always something related to the ocean or water. So that movie was just ideal for me. And I know last week we talked about Blockbuster, but growing up, when I went to the Blockbuster down the street from my house, I bought the Finding Nemo movie, and they had the...
Was that with your allowance?
Nailed it.
Probably or my birthday money or something, but anyways, and I actually had the little... a squishy version that came with it of the, I forget
Nemo?
The
name.
No, but the one that says, like, I'm going to ink that one.
Oh, sure.
Jellyfish. And I had that for years, and I'm pretty sure it's still in my room somewhere, just sitting on the floor in my parents'
house. Oh, that was a little octopus.
That's what it was. It was an octopus.
Yep. You guys made me ink.
Yeah. So it came with the DVD when I got it, and to this day, when I go home, I still see it. And now it's like that one of the eyes has fallen off, but it was just such a big part of my childhood that I can't.
So do you have to, like, whenever you watch the movie, do you have to eat goldfish crackers and have a juice box, or?
You're not allowed to eat goldfish crackers during that movie, Steve.
Yeah.
It's about fish, like, dude.
Wrong.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. I don't know how this turned. I don't know how this turned on me, but okay.
It's a classic Disney movie.
Oh, it's an outstanding Disney movie for sure. Dusty, what you got?
You guys had a little issue with this. I had zero issue. There's one movie and there's one movie alone, and it's Robin Hood. Robin Hood is amazing. The music's incredible.
It is great.
The characters are great. The dancing scenes are awesome. You know, maybe some of them are exactly like the Jungle Book, but whatever, man. It's funny. It's got great music. It's got quotable moments. I've seen that movie more times than I can count. It's Robin Hood, and for me, nothing else is particularly close to that.
Okay, that's fair. For me, I'm gonna go with Monsters, Inc. Just one of my all-time favorites. I always love, you know, the little girl voice for with Boo, like all the interactions whenever she says Mike Wazowski, like it always cracks me up every damn time. For a Disney movie, it had a great plot. Like it was always a lot of fun. So that was always my favorite, one of my favorite Disney movies. I mean, I can watch them all. I enjoyed Frozen. Frozen 2 was meh, you know.
I still haven't seen it. I need to see it.
It's decent, but again, it's a sequel. You know, most sequels, for the most part, most sequels don't hang on to the first one. So I would tell you it's good. It's not great. I actually had my second screening of that this weekend because it came out on Redbox. All right, let's see. Another one from Andy B. If you could live in another city, what city would it be and why? Dusty, let's start with you.
Man, I go a couple different ways with it. I'm actually going to be in Colorado this summer. I love Colorado. That area out there is just amazing. But I'm going to go. We took a vacation. Actually, it turned out being our last big vacation. It's a vacation. My wife had a conference, and I tagged along and just like walked around and drank the whole time before we had kids. And it was Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine, incredible city. I don't hear it talked about very much. Super walkable. Lots of breweries. There's also the International Cryptozoology Museums up there. That's run by Lauren Coleman, a noted cryptozoologist. So there's a lot of really fun, you know, Bigfoot things and the Fiji Mermaid and a whole bunch of stuff. They're in a new space now that I have not visited yet. But just really, really cool town. I probably don't go in the winter, but I don't know. I think I would love to live up there. It's right on the sea. Crab cakes, as far as the eye could see.
Okay.
Crab cakes and lobster rolls. There's just lobster rolls everywhere.
I do love a good lobster roll.
Oh, dude, so good. They had carts on the street selling lobster rolls. They were just the freshest things in the entire world. I'd go Portland, Maine. I love that place.
I would want to live, and this is probably the only big city I would live in, is D.C. I love D.C. I've been multiple times. My aunt used to be stationed over there, so when she was there, I would go quite often because the flights weren't super bad, and I had a free place to stay, and pretty much all of the museums and everything there are free. But I love going there. It's just one of my favorite places to visit. I never get tired of it. Every time I go, I find something else that I didn't know existed there. So yeah, if it wasn't super expensive and a big city that, you know, I couldn't afford to live in, I definitely would want to live there. I always, which I'm sad I never did, I wanted to do an internship for like just a temporary period of time. Like if I could have done it anywhere, I would have done it there. So I just really like that city.
I'm kind of getting along Dusty's route of before I had children, and I had a lot of fun in the world. my wife and I both taught English over in South Korea, and one of the best vacations I ever took was going to Malaysia. And we went and stayed on a remote island that one of my friends recommended to me. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of it right now. I'll be able to figure out as soon as we finish recording. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to tweet that out. But honestly, it's one of my most favorite memories of all time of just we rented scooters. We drove around the island. We swam under waterfalls. We had some of the most amazing food I've ever had in my life. It's dirt cheap. It was awesome. Like, it was just so much fun. So I would love to go back there. I've always wanted to live on the water, so that's kind of something the wife and I are working on doing eventually. So, you know, if we could live in Malaysia, that'd be cool. I don't know what the school system's like. That kind of changes things now. But overall, that would be one of my favorite places in the world to go back to. So, all right, let's move on. We've got one from SMUDE. Is last year's free agent spending impacting this year's rumors? Sarah, do you have any little takes on this one?
I mean, sure, I guess. I don't know. So much of this off-season talk and draft talk, just people get so worked up about it. And every year it happens, people either like or hate the choices they make, and then they move on. And then if they didn't like the choice and it turns out to be bad, then halfway through the season, they're tweeting at the Packers that they suck and that they made a bad decision. So, I mean, yeah, I think it definitely has some sort of impact because that's just how we think and we function. I don't really know. Like, I don't think I could have a definite answer to that if I'm being honest. Like, yes, it's 100% affecting it. I think it just depends on the person and who you are, but there's always going to be people that, you know, connect things that maybe aren't so connected and will always be, we've talked about this before, they just want to get it out there, and I don't know. I don't really have an opinion about this, to be honest.
I mean, it is interesting because, I mean, you could say, you know, my initial thought is, well, yeah, it has to, just simply due to the money aspect of it, right? I mean, the Packers don't have as much money simply because they signed people last year, and the nature of those contracts is they're starting to get a little more expensive now with the cap hits and all of that. But at the same time, that's never stopped anyone from speculating wildly about, like, yeah, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And there's always that guy on Twitter that says they have some source that this is going to happen, and then you find out that never even was going to happen. So it's so many blurred lines.
Well, there are still, I mean, there's, and it's, I don't remember too much of last off season. That seems like a very long time ago, but I mean, I'm still seeing a lot of Packers trading for OBJ and, you know, obviously going after Hooper and, you know, who, like, all these other guys who they may sign and they're maybe connected to, and if they drop this guy, maybe they do this. Like, I feel like the rumors are still out there. It's probably just, if you if you look at the money aspect of it, it's way less feasible now than it was. But I do think the rumors are still out there, because you are still seeing just, I've seen OBJ so many times. It's just, it's insane. Like, I saw it again today, which I'm going to say it's not going to happen. It's just very far-fetched that that's going to happen. And, I mean, they can make moves. I think there are still rumors. It's just they get shot down quicker because, like, well, they don't have money to do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Packers have a GM who's going to spend money when he has it. And they do technically have money. But, I mean, like we talked about earlier, those dollars right now should be focused on – Kenny Clark. They should be focused on getting some of the other free agents that they have. And yes, maybe they can bring in one guy. If you let Brian Bulaga walk, if you can trade Lane Taylor and cut Jimmy Graham, like, then yeah, some things might be able to happen. But I feel like this is obviously it's draft season, it's free agency season. And I feel like Gutekunst has no problem with getting on the good side of agents and being like, hey, why don't you float out the fact that guy is your number one priority in free agency to drive up his price? I've got some free agents that I can swing your way that are going to be way lower on the totem pole. But if you do this for me, I'll do it. Like, that's just kind of what it feels like to me of – because – it's already come out that the Packers' number one priority is going to be Austin Hooper. Oh, wait, no, it's going to be Corey Littleton. Oh, wait, no, it's going to be Joe Schobert. And that's all within the last week that we've seen all these guys are the number one priority of the Green Bay Packers. So I have no issue with it. Like, I feel like if Goody is using that opportunity to get in good with agents, that's a great thing. I feel they're going to bring in one big guy, and that's about it. And they'll bring in some little, you know, some Tyler Irvin signings, some stuff like that. But I think there's going to be, if I'm guessing anything, I think there's going to be a middle linebacker signed. That's going to be my prediction. So let's move on. We've got one from Five Stack a Million. And I love this guy already because he's talking about the linebacker group. Would you be comfortable with our linebacker situation if we brought in Nick Kwiatkowski and added a mid-round linebacker like Akeem Davis-Gaither? Either of you have opinions on this one? Because I know I'm normally the inside linebacker guy that will beat the drum, but what are you thinking?
It's all money. I mean, it's what it was. Kwiatkowski cost. I have no idea what that going rate is. I mean, I saw Blake Martinez's annual salary drop roughly $5 million in the past week from what he's asking for. So I have no idea what that going rate is. I like him. I think that's an upgrade at that position. So if that's a guy that can be had for, you know, I don't know, $6 to $7 million a year, I guess.
I'm gonna say the number I've seen online so far has been about 7 to 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say I think
Blake Martinez is looking at like 10.
Yeah.
Corey Littleton, you know, you're looking at 11 to 12.
No.
Yeah,
stuff
like that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Kwiatkowski at like at 7 to 8, I think is fine. I'd feel way, I mean, better about it than I do now because we don't have an inside linebacker right now. So I would feel better because there is someone in that role. And then, yeah, you get, yeah, a mid-round guy to kind of play alongside, learn a little, not playing every snap. You know, I'd be playing a lot of nickel. So, yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I don't have much else to comment on that besides what you already said, Dusty. I think the main thing is, again, it comes down to the money and what's happening there. If you know, it is at 7 or 8, then, yeah, I'm probably pretty comfortable with that. But, you know, any more, I don't know if that's something I'm willing to dive into.
We did get a question about bars and restaurants in Green Bay from at Bree Whitney. And as much as we would love to answer that question, none of us live in that area. If you've got questions about bars in Milwaukee, I can help you out. Orlando. I don't know if Sarah could actually help you out with that.
No, she cannot. God, Cheesecake Factory. Lovely. Lovely selection of
They've got great tap beers.
I'll go to bat. First of all, Brian Whitney, I've known that guy for a while and actually got to meet him when I was up for the divisional round game. So, hey, what's up, Brian? I'm glad you're cool. I don't have any underrated places in Green Bay simply because I don't go there enough. I will say Sheboygan, which is like an hour and away. There's a hole-in-the-wall sports bar called Champs that has amazing wings and cheese curds. Like every time we've been there 2 or 3 times and there's never anybody in there.
Pretty much like any bar in Wisconsin, but sure. Okay.
Yeah. But no one's there. I'd say they're better. I mean, we ate a lot of cheese curds when we go up there. I'd say probably the Mars Cheese Castle was my favorite, but this was a close second. We had a lot of curds. These were better than the Kroll's curds. They know what they're doing there.
The Reuben at the Mars Cheese Castle.
Oh, I'll have to do that next time.
Yep. Yep. All right, let's go. We've got from DPI, Sam's Club or Costco?
I don't know. Costco, nothing? I guess, probably.
Okay. Sarah, do you even shop there?
Yeah, I don't really have a Costco near me. I have a Sam's Club that I used to go to with my parents when I lived at home. So I guess Sam's Club because I don't know much about I know what Costco is, but I don't really have one near me.
Okay. I'm going to go with Sam's Club because that's where I have a free membership to for work. So it's way better than Costco because it's free. However, the only thing I will tell you is I actually have heard the Costco Costco Kirkland brand booze is actually pretty legit and is way cheaper than most of the name brand stuff. So if you do join, if you are a member of Costco and that's your kind of thing, then make sure to check that out. We had another one from Sacktown Packers. but Chris wants to know, why is nobody talking about how big of a need the cornerback position is? If you really take a look at the group, it's not as good as it may appear on the surface. We're a Jair away, injury away from being doomed on the outside. Dusty, you got any comment?
Yeah, I mean, so just to run it down real quick, it's the who we got right now. We'll look at both sides. It's Jair and Kevin King. And Kevin King, you know, uneven-ish, but turned in a pretty good year, and he was healthy, but you can't bank on that. Tremont Williams, who is a free agent, and 38-39. Chandon Sullivan, who I liked, but that's like one of the backups there. Josh Jackson, who hasn't shown much, and then you're down to like Kadar Holman. So, I mean, yeah, I mean they're down
he's,
to.
He's
I mean,
not wrong.
No, I mean not even he said Jair injury. They're legitimately like
an injury away,
including Kevin King, who is injured a lot away from possibly looking at Ladarius Gunter again. I mean, it's not at that level. It's not that dire. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, you look at kind of how they drafted. They drafted a lot of cornerbacks, and you think you're set, and you're never really set. So, yeah, I mean, I like what we saw to Sullivan, but it's one of those things. It's not an issue until it is, and they are legitimately one injury away from having issues there. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them take a shot at a guy or two at the draft this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a need. I probably, to answer his question, the reason that it isn't talked about, you know, as much is just because it's not as obvious. I think, like he said, like we're an injury away at one point of being in trouble, whereas some of the other like areas like inside linebacker and wide receiver, it's clear that they're already at that point, that they already need those guys. So I think that's probably the reason why it isn't talked about as much, but it's definitely a need as well. So that was a great question, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, if you've been watching any mock drafts, and I know Sarah and Dusty, that is not what you guys do at all. But I do, and every article I've read, like most of the ones that talk about like needs, it's got the Packers looking at a cornerback anywhere from the third to the fifth round. So not a top of the line starter, but somebody they could bring in that can be a fourth, fifth, sixth guy right away. And hopefully you hit on something like that's something that I think it may not be a pressing need like wide receiver or offensive line or linebacker. Like those are the talked about ones in this offseason, but he's absolutely right. Cornerback is definitely a position of need for this team. It'll be interesting to see if they're going to try to bring Tremont back, if they want to do that for another year, kind of how that all goes around. But that kind of leads into another question we got from at TravisMac12. If you are the Packers GM, do you target one high-priced free agent, or do you go for two or three cheaper options?
I think probably one high price free agent instead of two or three smaller ones. I think that's typically the way that Goody is going to go now and that we've kind of seen. And I think, Steve, you talked about before that there'd be some smaller signings later, like Irving and other ones that we saw this year. I don't really see that changing. I think they're going to put their name in for a few different guys, but then they're going to find the one that they really want and go for him there.
I think it depends. I think it's tough. I mean, we talked about the money a lot already so far this episode, but that definitely factors in. I mean, it feels like they splurged last year. They got the two big edge rushers. They threw down the money. I've always viewed free agency as, you know, you're not always looking for the big name guy. I mean, what they did last year, you know, they paid big for a couple guys they felt were on the cusp of breaking out, and then those guys broke out. But really what you're doing is you're trying to plug those holes so that you're not drafting for absolute need in the draft. And so, you know, you look across kind of who the Packers are right now. And they've got, you know, I think we'll get to Aaron Jones here in a minute, but they've got two running backs who are going into the last year of their deal. They've got, you know, the wide receiver crew needs help. They've got the tight end group needs help. The O-line might need a little depth. Inside linebacker, we're talking about cornerback. I mean, there's D-line. There's enough areas that can use some help that I feel like it's almost like I view it as like trading the farm for like the number two pick overall when you've got a dozen areas you need to fill. It's more about the impact of that one guy, right? So it's this one big name guy that's going to cost you a lot of money. Does that help put you over the edge enough to not necessarily mask your deficiencies, but to overcome those a little bit more? Or do you feel a little better throwing little bits of money in these other areas, hoping for a lower guy to kind of either provide some help or just get incrementally better in those areas. My thought, based on what they did last year and the money they've got this year, I'm kind of leaning towards the 2 to 3 cheaper options. And if I'm the GM, I think that's what I would do at this point. Is you've got these big name guys. You know, you got the Smith brothers. You've got, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers. You got Devontae Adams. Like, you've got these big names. You know, Adrian Amos, they paid big for last year as well. You don't necessarily need the big guys. I would go for, and we're not talking about specific free agents. It's more of a philosophy at this point. I think I'd be looking more at those 2 to 3 smaller guys to kind of to bolster the roster a little. You're not looking for necessarily a guy that's going to, like, just be the guy to take you over the top, but you're looking to mask those deficiencies to get incrementally better in those areas. So I think I'd go the 2 to 3 lower guys.
It's going to be fascinating to watch because there are guys to be had, and there's guys to be had that are in the price range of the Packers. Like, it feels like the Packers can, if they really want to, make one big move. So it's an Austin Hooper, it's Robbie Anderson, it's Corey Littleton, a Joe Schober. Like, they can make one big move if they clear a little bit of cap. And honestly, I feel like it's going to happen. Like, I think that is one thing they're actually going to do. And if I could place a bet on it, I think I would go with Corey Littleton. I think they realize that the middle linebacker spot is finally something that they need to admit that they've made mistakes in not addressing over the last 10, 12, 15 years. And that's kind of where I think they're going to do it. And then I think they will make the smallish moves that help the team, like a Tyler Irvin, bringing back Tremont Williams if they can do that. And then they will hopefully – My honest hope is that they spend the majority of the draft on the offense and getting an influx of talent that's young and cheap and on the offensive side of the ball, because all they've been doing for the last decade has been throwing everything at the defensive side of the ball. So my hope is that they'll get a middle linebacker. I know that's shocking to everybody involved here, but I hope they get a middle linebacker. I hope they get Corey Littleton. Out of him or Joe Schobert, that would be my pick. And then I'm hoping they're signing a couple of smaller guys and then go offense heavy for the draft. So we've got that. We've got one more question, guys. All right. I think we've done enough. We've got
We've done enough.
Let's end it on something that we all can agree on. Aaron Jones. So this is coming from @goose. Ooh, Minnesota. This is outstanding because we've got a guy that lives in Minnesota and is a Packer fan. So, Goose, we like you even more now. But he asks, will the Packers extend Aaron Jones? How much do you think they sign him for?
So there's been talks about how there's mutual interest on both sides. And honest to God, I have zero idea what that means. I mean, we just talked about all of the weird misinformation that goes on with, like, yeah, this is their top target and mutual interest. Yeah, maybe, like, they talked about it or something. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if that actually means anything, but it sounds like there has been conversations. I mean, the way Goody has been operating, I have zero idea. All I can speak to, if it's me, I love Aaron Jones, and I would not pay him. I would let someone else pay him. Unless you can get him at, like, a reasonable contract, which he should not accept because he has been amazing, I would not bring him back. The only case that I could make in terms of bringing him back is if he is more, it's more that hybrid role, which they have been flexing on more at receiver, but if he's playing more snaps at receiver than he is at running back. Because we talked about this last week, your body takes such wear and tear at the running back position that second contract, if you pay a guy big, that almost never works. Like, very rarely does that actually work, regardless of how good a guy is. That very, very rarely works. So I would be very much against paying Aaron Jones unless it's structured very, very well and they're not paying him a ton of money, which, again, if I'm Aaron Jones, I don't actually take, because you can get paid somewhere else. You make that money on that second contract where you can. I wouldn't begrudge him if he goes, but I certainly would not pay him what I think the market is going to ask that he gets.
He's not leaving. That's what I tell myself every day. I, like you said, I love Aaron Jones. I have no idea what's going to happen or what the mutual interest on both sides means, but I just hope and pray that they work something out that's reasonable and fair for both parties involved. I don't like talking about this. It makes me sad. I don't want to think of Aaron Jones not being on the Packers. So he's not, in my mind, he's not leaving, and I'm going to tell myself that until that changes. And hopefully I just say it enough that it becomes true. So there, that's all I'm saying. This is making me upset. This has triggered many emotions.
I think I fall kind of somewhere in between the two of you, where I honestly think he will be back. I do. I think they will figure out a way to make a contract work that works for everybody. My best guess is it lands somewhere about $6 million a year.
Oh, I'd take that in a heartbeat. Take that in a heartbeat.
Okay. I mean, that's my best guess. Right now, he's this year with his, I believe with his elevators in his contract, he's going to be making a little over $2 million. And so if he can get 6 years or $6 million a year for 4 years, I think that's something that both teams could, or both parties could agree to. Maybe he thinks he can get more on the open market, and he might be able to, but I don't know if he wants to go to like the Colts or, I mean, somebody else who has an unbelievable amount of money.
He's staying on the Packers. I'm telling
you. I want it too. I do. That's what I'm saying.
The one thing I'll say, and I don't know if you guys read this, I can't remember what, this might have been on the Packers site, I can't remember what site had this, the profile on him in terms of like his journey, him being a twin, and how much kind of that, like that kind of broke his heart to be away from his brother Alvin, and how he found that sense of community in Green Bay, and especially with Jamal Williams, where when they started as rookies and they're kind of going through training camp and they're going through that first year, you know, such a hard time adjusting, he would just go over to Jamal Williams' house and they would just play video games. And he talked about like how that helped him. That helped him like realize like the fun he could have, and helped him like feel like he belonged and all of that. And so after reading that, I think that was midway through the season that came out, that maybe like a little bit was like, well, if he had that feeling, maybe that sways something. But also, money also talks very nicely. So if someone's going to back up the truck for him,
that's understandable. If somebody is going to bank, like, and I'm sure his agent already knows that. If somebody is going to back up the truck for him and drop a crap ton of money on his front door, you can't argue with that. Like, that's something that he would need to do. But if he really wants to stay with the Packers, he likes being in Green Bay. I think, you know, $6, maybe $7 million at the most is something I'd feel comfortable with for a guy who, like you talked about, is flexible, can be the running back, and can be split out wide to be a wide receiver. So I think that is a doable thing. I think he'll be back. I think Jamal Williams will be gone. I think somebody else will give Jamal Williams maybe like $4 million to be a backup, like a secondary guy, and the Packers won't match that. So that's why I think there will also be a third to fifth round running back that is drafted as well. So cornerback, running back, I think those are the mid-round guys for the Packers. But, I mean, overall, like, as much as we didn't have anything to talk about, guys, like, this is – it kind of turned into a fun episode of, like, we had a lot to talk about because there's so much intrigue because we're a couple of weeks away from free agency. We're a month and a half away from the draft.
Yeah.
There's so much intrigue going on. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun to kind of answer those questions and see what's on Packer fans' minds. That kind of, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I think we got as much as we could, as fast as we could. I know we didn't get to all of it, but we're going to hit some closing thoughts. I know, Sarah, you're good. You don't have anything right now?
Nope, I'm good. I'm not writing right now. I don't write during the off season as of right now, so I don't have.
Oh, no. Bobbleheads.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So I have no idea really what this is because I don't live in Wisconsin, and I think this is a Wisconsin thing, but there's a celebrity bobblehead challenge, and Lily Zhao is up for one of the celebrity bobbleheads, and I love Lily Zhao. I think her coverage, not only is her coverage of the Packers great, but she's just really funny and she's a great follow on Twitter. And somehow she, which I think is crazy cool, that she's up for this celebrity bobblehead and you can vote. So if you've not seen that on Twitter, go to Lily Zhao's page and check it out, because I think that would be really freaking cool if Lily Zhao had a bobblehead. So, yes, thank you for reminding me of that scene.
See, I make fun of you all the time, but I also got your back. Don't worry.
Wow, so kind.
I do what I can. I do what I can. Dusty, what do you got for us?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I got things as well. Second, the fact that Lily's amazing. So yeah, please vote for that because she's the best. I've got two things. One of them is just I kind of want Aaron Jones back just because I want to hear Steve rage for another 4 years about how the Packers are misusing him. I think that'd be fun, and yeah, it probably wouldn't get old at all.
No, it wouldn't
get old at all, Steve. And then
why? Because I'm right.
No. No,
really,
you're not.
So, but, nope.
We're not doing this.
But you are not baiting me into this conversation right now.
My final thought, Steve. This is my final thought.
I don't care, Dusty. I'm in charge of the show.
Okay, all right, buddy. my last one is, so I've been writing during the off season. I'm going through chronologically through the season and taking a player or two from each week and just kind of, you know, talking about it, breaking them down, giving a little context for what was happening.
Pretty stupid idea, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's not great. I don't think a lot of people are reading it. So thanks, Steve. I'm up to week 3 today when this comes out. I think around noonish Central will be out. I'm at the Broncos game. And what I'm trying to write about plays that I've not written about during the season. So that means the cheese wheel, that's where the cheese wheel week 3 is, when the cheese wheel made its debut. That is not one of the things I'm doing. Sarah, you were at that game. So that's awesome. I went with a two-play sequence at the end of the first half that was Preston Smith strip sack of Joe Flacco, and then the Aaron Jones touchdown run that had some really nice blocking, kind of Billy Turner, nice read by Aaron Jones and Billy Turner kind of shedding off a block and getting the middle linebacker, the inside linebacker there so Aaron Jones could get it. So just, again, like kind of a fun – I think a lot of times I think back to – either what I've covered or the big plays in a game. And a lot of times when I think of big plays in a game, I don't think of first half, end of the first half stuff. So it's been fun to kind of go back through and do that. So yeah, today you can read about a Preston Smith strip sack and how Za'Darius Smith kind of helped set that up and how even Kevin King coverage on that made that unlikely to be complete anyway. And then they look at some blocking offensive line movement on Aaron Jones touchdown run. So fun little series, regardless of what Steve says. So you can read that today over on Cheesehead TV.
I kid. You always put out outstanding articles. As Sarah has said many times, like it always pains me to say this out loud and give you a compliment, but every time I read those articles, I feel like I learned something, and it really pisses me off.
Sarah doesn't put any of those qualifiers on it. Sarah puts none of those qualifiers on it.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't really care. I'm not going to be that. Yeah, no. I'm not nice to the young kid. Why should I be nice to you?
It's true. It's a good point.
I've got a couple of closing thoughts. We completely missed this question from one of Sarah's followers. So it's from Hooven99. Can the Packers win the Super Bowl next year? Hooven99, you're goddamn right they can win the Super Bowl next year.
Seconded.
Mm-hmm. I don't need comments from the others. Yep, exactly. Yeah, you're goddamn right they can. Outside of that, I'm just excited for, you know, actual football to start getting back to normal. I want free agency. I want the draft. I want all this stuff. And to one of my good friends, Eric, I am not mad that you planned your wedding to land on Friday night of the draft. You know, that's not something I'll hold against you. I'm just going to figure out a way to get a flat screen TV at your wedding. So, outside of that, I think we're pretty good. We will be back next week, as always, and hopefully there'll be a little bit of news. I mean, the NFL news kind of starts to creep up a little bit more as soon as free agency gets closer and closer, so there'll be some news to talk about. And, yeah, we'll get Sarah to definitely hold in on a closing thought for next week too, so it'll be good. But we will catch you guys next week. Make sure, as always, to follow us on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4. Sarah, I've always wanted to ask, is there at Sarah Kelleher 1, 2, and 3?
I don't know.
Was that your number
growing up? So okay. All of my social media has always just been my name with some form of a four in it.
Okay. I was very curious. All of a sudden it just popped in my head. I was like, is that circle? Like, are there other ones that like took 1, 2, and 3 that just pissed her off? Or
I don't know. But I should look into that.
Good to know. Good to know. Okay. At Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, and as always, at Packaday Podcast. Again, please keep following us on Twitter. We love all the interactions. We love the questions you guys give us. Hopefully, we can get to every single one of them and answer them when we can. So thank you for your questions tonight. It really saved us. But we'll catch you next week. And as always, go Pack, go.